Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member of Avram Goldar, and there is Zechus Bab Metzia, Daf Ein Hey, the fifth parak, Ezehu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states that one cannot tell his fellow, Halveni Kor Chitin, lend me a core of wheat, Vaniten Lecha Lagorin, and I'll give you back a core at the threshing season. This is a case of sa b'sa, and rabbinically prohibited because the produce may increase in price before the repayment. One may say, Halveni Achi Yavu B'ni, lend me a core of wheat until my son comes to access my wheat, or Achi Emsa Mavtech, or until I find the key. Since the borrower has wheat, albeit temporarily inaccessible, it's considered as if the lender acquires it now, and its subsequent increase in value is not ribbis. Hill prohibits even this case, but the halacha follows the Tanna Kamma. Rav Huna says that one can only borrow equal to the amount of produce he possesses. Rav Yitzchak says, Afilo Yesho Sa, even if he only has one Sa. Lova Aleh Kamakorin, he can borrow on his basis many korin. Rashi explains that once he borrows one saw based on the saw he owns, he may eat or sell a saw, so he can use it to borrow another saw against it. A brisa supports the second view. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says, Yesh ribis mukdemis, there's an advance interest, Yesh ribis mu'ucheris, and there's subsequent interest. He explains that if one sends someone a gift and says, this is all you should lend me, this is a case of advance interest. If one borrowed from someone and after repaying the loan sent him a gift and said, this is a gift because of your money which is idle with me, this is a case of subsequent interest. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh ribis dvarim, there is verbal interest without a financial benefit. A borrower may not tell the lender that a certain person came from a certain place where such information is important to the lender. In a brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that if one owed someone a mana and does not usually greet the lender first, it's forbidden to do so because the pasuk says, Neshach kol davar asher yishach, neshach of anything that is taken in interest, which teaches, afil dibur asur, even speech is forbidden when provided as interest. And point number three, Rav said, Kol mi sheyeshu maos, whoever's money, umav osan shlo be'edim, and lends it out without edim, transgresses, lifnei iver l'titan mikshol, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person, by enabling the borrower to falsely deny the loan. Rish Lakish says, Gorim kalo la'atzmo, he causes a curse to be uttered against himself, as the pasuk says, Te'elam nasiv se shakra, dorvos od tzadik osa, may these lying lips be silenced, which speak falsehood about a righteous person. People assume the borrower is truthfully denying the loan and curse the lender for falsely accusing him. The rabbis told Ravashi that Ravina fulfills everything the sages say. Ravashi sent a request to Ravina shortly before Shabbos to borrow 10 zuzim. Ravina responded that he should send edim and write up a shtar. When Ravashi sent to him, Afila ananami, even I require edim? Ravina responded, Kol shekein mar, master requires witnesses all the more so. Tatar begir se mishtoi, because he's preoccupied with his learning, and may forget the loan, v'gorm kol l'atmi, and cause a curse to fall upon me when he denies it. A brisa lets three people cry out in basin and are not answered because they brought the trouble upon themselves, one of whom is one who lends money without edim. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states that one cannot tell his fellow, halveni kor chitin, lend me a core of wheat, va'ani etenu lecha lagorin, and I will give you back a core at the threshing season. This is a case of sa b'sa, and rabbinically prohibited because the produce may increase in price before the repayment. One may say, Halveni achi yavu b'ni, lend me a core of wheat until my son comes to access my wheat, or achi emsa mavtech, or until I find the key. Since the borrower has wheat, albeit temporarily inaccessible, it's considered as if the lender acquires it now, and its subsequent increase in value is not ribbis. Hill prohibits even this case, but the halacha follows the Tanna Kamma. Rav Huna says that one can only borrow equal to the amount of produce he possesses. Rav Yitzchak says, Afilo Yesho Sa, even if he only has one Sa. Lova Aleh Kamakorin, he can borrow on his basis many korin. Rashi explains that once he borrows one Sa based on the Sa he owns, he may eat or sell a Sa, so he can use it to borrow another Sa against it. A brisa supports the second view. Point number two, in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel says, Yesh ribis mukdemis, there's an advance interest, Yesh ribis mu'ucheris, and there's subsequent interest. He explains that if one sends someone a gift and says, this is all you should lend me, this is a case of advance interest. If one borrowed from someone and after repaying the loan sent him a gift and said, this is a gift because of your money which is idle with me, this is a case of subsequent interest. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh ribis dvarim, there is verbal interest without a financial benefit. A borrower may not tell the lender that a certain person came from a certain place where such information is important to the lender. In a brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says that if one owed someone a mana and does not usually greet the lender first, it's forbidden to do so because the pasuk says, Neshach kol davar asher yishach, neshach of anything that is taken in interest, which teaches, afil dibur asur, even speech is forbidden when provided as interest. And point number three, Rav said, Kol mi sheyesho maos, whoever's money, umav osan shelo be'edim, and lends it out without edim, transgresses, lifnei iver latitan mikshol, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person, by enabling the borrower to falsely deny the loan. Rish Lakish says, Gorim kalo la'atzmo, he causes a curse to be uttered against himself, as the pasuk says, Te'alam nasiv se shakra dorvos od tzadik osa, may these lying lips be silenced, which speak falsehood about a righteous person. People assume the borrower is truthfully denying the loan and curse the lender for falsely accusing him. The rabbis told Ravashi that Ravina fulfills everything the sages say. Ravashi sent a request to Ravina shortly before Shabbos to borrow 10 zuzim. Ravina responded that he should send edim and write up a shtar. When Ravashi sent to him, Afila ananami, even I require edim? Ravina responded, Kol shekein mar, master requires witnesses all the more so. Datar begir se mishtoi, because he's preoccupied with his learning, and may forget the loan, v'gorm kol l'atmi, and cause a curse to fall upon me when he denies it. A brisa lists three people cry out in basin and are not answered because they brought the trouble upon themselves, one of whom is one who lends money without aiding. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Ayin Hey, and our standard Simon is an Am Ha'aretz, an Am Ha'aretz. So here goes. The Am Ha'aretz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in a storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Am Ha'aretz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as Ribbis Mukdemis, to get a loan, after he foolishly transgressed and lent money to someone without aiding, who later denied his claim. Once again in slow motion. The Am Ha'aretz, Am Ha'aretz, that must be more in Daf Ayin Hey. The Am Ha'aretz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one cannot tell his fellow, Halveni kor chitin, lend me a core of wheat, vani etenol chalagorin, and I'll give you back a core at the threshing season. This is a case of saw besaw, and rabbinically prohibited, because the produce may increase in price before the repayment. One may say, lend me a core of wheat until my son comes to access my wheat, or until I find the key. Since the borrower has wheat, albeit temporarily inaccessible, it's considered as if the lender acquires it now, and its subsequent increase in value is not ribbis. He'll prohibits even in this case, but the halacha follows the Tanakama. So the Am Ha'aretz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Am Ha'aretz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah, Rambam Gamliel says, Yesh ribbis mukdemis, there is advance interest, Yesh ribbis mucheris, and there's subsequent interest. He explains that if one sends someone a gift and says, this is what you should lend me, this is a case of advance interest. If one borrowed from someone, and after repaying the loan, sent him a gift and said, this gift is because of your money, which is idle with me, this is a case of subsequent interest. Rabbi Shimon says, Yesh ribbis dvarim, there is verbal interest without a financial benefit. So the Am Ha'aretz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in a storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Am Ha'aretz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan, after he foolishly transgressed and lent money to someone without aiding, who later denied his claim. Which reminds us, Rav said, Kol mi sheyesho maos, whoever has money and lends it out without aiding, transgresses lifnei iver lo titen mikshol, do not put a stumbling block before a blind person by enabling the borrower to falsely deny the loan. Rish Lakish says, Gorm kalal la'atzmo, he causes a curse to be uttered against himself. People assume the borrower is truthfully denying the loan and curse the lender for falsely accusing him. So once again, the Am Ha'aretz, who borrowed a saw of wheat and promised to pay back a saw that was locked in the storehouse when he found the gold key, didn't realize his Am Ha'aretz son had given the key away to someone as a gift, as ribbis mukdemis, to get a loan, after he foolishly transgressed and lent money to someone without aiding, who later denied his claim. All right, so now it's time for four Brat Bach Chazar. Daf Ein Olav. So the Simmer Daf Ein Olav is a donkey going ee-aw. So here goes. After the ribbis lender's donkey, that must mean on Daf Ein Olav, ee-aw. After the ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, which reminds us, the Gemara talks about the blindness of those who lend with ribbis and teaches that their possessions will falter and not rise again. So after the ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri, which reminds us, it was taught in Brice that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with interest and another Jew asked to borrow the money and pay the additional interest to the non-Jew, it's forbidden as a loan from the Jew. But if the first borrower presented him to the non-Jew who agreed to transfer the loan to him, it's permitted as a loan from the non-Jew. So after the ribbis lender's donkey faltered and could not rise again, he was careful to only act as an intermediary for the next Jew who asked to borrow his ribbis loan from Ned the Nachri. For although non-Jews are disqualified from shlichus, they still have Zechiah, which reminds us, Ravina says that granted that a non-Jew does not have the power of shlichus, Zechiah midrabban esle, but rabbinically, they have the power of acquisition through a third party without the beneficiary's knowledge of appointing a shlich. Therefore, the second borrower acquires the payment on the non-Jew's behalf and then borrows it from him. Ravina derives this from a katan who is disqualified from shlichus, since he can't separate truma, the source of shlichus, yet rabbinically still has the power of Zechiah. The Gemara rejects Ravina's proof at Yisrael, Asil Lachal Shlichos. A Jew, even a katan, will later come into the principle of Shlichos when he matures. So the rabbis granted him Zechiah while he's still a katan, whereas a non-Jew will never be eligible for Shlichos and so does not have Zechiah. Daf Ayin Beis. So the similar Daf Ayin Beis is Av thick, and we use a thick piece of cake. So here goes. After the Ger ate from his thick piece of cake, that must mean we're on Daf Ayin Beis. After the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbons for the loan he made to the Jew, prior to his gerus that was written as a new loan, which reminds us who has taught in Bryce that if a Jew borrowed from a non-Jew with ribbons, and the total principal with interest was rewritten as a new debt, and afterwards the non-Jew converted, he can collect the full amount, including the ribbons. So after the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbons for the loan he made to a Jew, prior to his gerus that was written as a new loan, the presiding rabbi told him that if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa, shtar shekasabo ribbis, regarding a shtar in which was written a ribbis obligation. Rameir says, konsino, so we penalize the lender and he cannot even use the shtar to collect the principal. The Chachamim say that he may use the shtar to collect the principal, but not the interest. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Meir holds, Kansin Hatera Mishum Isura, we penalize something permitted because of something prohibited he attempted to do. And the Chachamim hold, we do not penalize the permitted part of the shtar. So after the ger ate from his thick piece of cake celebrating his gerus, and happily collected the principal plus the ribbis for the loan he made to a Jew prior to his gerus that was rewritten as a new loan, the presiding rabbi told him if he would write a new shtar with ribbis, he would be penalized not to even use the shtar to collect the principal. Just as the fruit platter finally arrived, which the rabbi had paid for in advance after a steady price, emerge, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ein poskin al peres ad sheyaseh hashar. One may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges, because the buyer's benefit of a fixed price is ribbis for his advance payment. Yatz hashar poskin, once a steady price has emerged, one may purchase in advance for that price, and although the seller does not currently have the produce, someone else has it. And since the seller can theoretically purchase the produce now at the current price, we're lenient regarding ribbis the rabbanan. Dafayin gimel. So the simmer dafayin gimel is a giant ostrich egg. So here goes. The man making advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs, that must mean daf ayin gimel. The man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the halacha pardesa, an advance payment for the future wine of a vineyard before the grapes have ripened at a reduced price. Rav forbids it, but Shmuel permits it. The Gemara explains that Rav holds that since the wine will later be worth much more, it appears like reward for waiting, meaning that the buyer received a discount for his advance payment for the wine. Shmuel holds that since the crop can be ruined by poor weather, the reduced price is not perceived as ribbis, but for accepting the risk. So the man making advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the rabbis were permitted to make an advance payment for wine in Tishrei and only pick the barrels of wine and not the barrels that have soured in Tevis. So the man making an advance payment at a reduced rate for the future wine of a vineyard, where the grapes the size of ostrich eggs had not yet ripened, while rabbis had come to collect wine in barrels shaped like ostrich eggs, which they paid for in advance, making sure not to accept any vinegar, was approached by an agent who was negligent and didn't buy wine during the season when the price was low, who asked for directions to the port of Zol Shavat, which reminds us, Rav Chama said that if someone gave money to an agent to purchase wine from during the season, when the price was low, and the agent was negligent and didn't buy it for him, the agent must provide him wine according to the low price of the port of Zol Shavat, a major market where wine was cheap during the production season. Rav Zvi said this ruling was only issued where the agent was instructed to purchase Yain Stum, unspecified wine, which was within his ability to obtain. But if he was sent to purchase Yain Zeh, this specific wine, he's not chai, for who's to say that the seller would have sold it to him? Ravashi disagrees and even exempts an agent who is told to buy Yain Stam because it's an asmachta, which is not binding. Daf Ayin Dalet, so the simmer Daf Ayin Dalet is an aid, a witness. So here goes. The witness, that must be more on Daf Ayin Dalet, aid. The witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, which reminds us, Rapapi said in Rava's name, Aisi Tumta Kanya, a mark put on wine barrels selected by a purchaser to be taken later as needed affects acquisition. Rav Chaviv explains that this means to actually acquire, like any other act of kinyan. The rabbi said it's only effective that the retracting party must accept upon itself the curse of a mishapara, but the buyer does not take any ownership of the wine. So the witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price, when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion. Which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis taught that one may make an advance purchase of produce even without a mark of price, if the seller has produce, even if it's unprocessed. Rav says, Mechusar Shtayim Posik, if the unprocessed produce is lacking two processes before its completion, he may make an advance purchase on its basis because it's considered like he has the produce. Shalosh ain't a posik, but if it's lacking three processes, he may not make an advance purchase on its basis, since it's so far removed from completion, it's not like having the goods in stock. Shmuel distinguishes whether the processes are Bidei Adam or Bidei Shamayim. So the witness who pointed out to the judges the barrels of wine that had been marked, which were selected by a buyer to be taken later, was astonished when he saw someone make an advance purchase of produce without a mark of price, when the seller had unprocessed produce lacking two processes before completion, who stipulate to the seller that he wants the better price if the price decreases. Which reminds the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis stated, a buyer of an advance purchase who wants to protect himself against price decreases may stipulate with the seller for the better price, requiring the seller to deliver goods at the later price if it decreases. Rav Yehuda said that the buyer may retract if it decreases, even if he never made a stipulation. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do machlokes whether a situmta, a mark on wine barrels, affects an acquisition or only its effective regarding incurring a mishapara? That's on daf Eindar. Good. Number 2. Which something went about an agent's liability for failing to purchase wine during the season when the price is low? That's on daf Ein Gimel. Good. Number 3. Which something went about ribus mukdemus and ribus mucheris? That's on daf Ein Hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss what the din is if a non-Jewish lender or borrower of ribus converts? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that one who lends money without aiding transgresses? Lifnei Iver lo titen mikshol. That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do you discuss lending to a non-Jew with ribbis? That's on daf Ayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do malchus if one can even collect the principal in a shtar the ribbis was written in? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn about the prohibition of basa? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss which processes may be lacking in produce and still be considered yeshlo? That's on daf Ayin Dal. Good. Number 10. Which of them the one may not purchase produce in advance at a fixed price until a steady price emerges? That's on daf Ayin Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhaber from Zichri, wishing you a great day and great learning.